Guys, spring football continues to roll on. We had some spring games this past weekend, April 6th in the year of our Lord 2024. Today's date is April 9th in the year of our Lord 2024. And right now, just for now, we're going to continue with some spring outlooks ahead of some of the games that are coming on this weekend, next weekend, and in a couple of weeks on, you know, for spring football, for college football. We're going to discuss the spring outlooks, and then within a few weeks, we're going to go over the results of all these spring games that we talked about, because we want to know about what we saw and what can we expect going into fall camp and for the 2024 season. Welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and pretty interesting and chilly Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, X, Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You are going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today as college football one, as well as all the answers to date for Pigskin Frenzy. The website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can contact me on there. You can get, you know, choose your platform. The platforms I just mentioned all are on the Pigskin Frenzy website. You can also learn more about me on that website. Store is coming soon. Guys, if you want just to make your, you know, make you feel better about yourself, make you just feel good grooming wise, I know I shaved my beard, but guess what? I still use some of their products. The Beard Club. The Beard Club is where to go and get your grooming needs met. If you are a guy listening to this, or if you are a significant other to your male counterpart and you are listening to this, the perfect thing for you and or your significant other women is the Beard Club. Get your Beard Club products now. Spring 25, you can use that code. You can go to my website. You can get body wash. You can get 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. What I would recommend is if you have facial hair, you get the beard grooming kits. The beard grooming kits are where, you know, you can trim it down. You can, you know, poof it up. You can make it special. Beard grooming kits. It makes everything, you know, great. Or as what these kids call it nowadays, it's what cooks. It is what cooks. The Beard Club. It is best for your grooming needs to be met. You can go to my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can go to the affiliations page, click on the Beard Club logo. It's going to take you right there. You can also go to my link tree. Go to my link tree, which is found on my bios on Twitter. Excuse me, X. I'm still trying to get over saying X. X, Facebook, and Instagram. It is on the bios there. Click on my link tree there. You can get the Beard Club link through there by clicking my link tree and going to purchase products from the Beard Club. Thank you to our partners at the Beard Club. It is where your grooming needs will be met. College football day today. And we're going to talk about our spring outlook some more. In a few weeks, we will start going over spring football results. I just wanted to take a few weeks in a few episodes to go over spring outlooks for certain teams. I would say we have about 2 more weeks of spring outlooks. 2 more weeks of spring outlooks. And then going into May, we will talk about some spring football results as we enter more in depth into the summer and into the offseason of college football. We'll go over our spring football results because there's some teams that we're going to talk about and we're going to dive deep, and it's not going to take the whole episode. We're going to go multiple episodes with this, and I'm excited about covering some spring football. I covered Auburn's, I covered Clemson's, I covered NC State's. We talked about those, and I discussed those. I've seen them. I've watched all of it. We're going to get into that, and we're going to discuss what's going on with Auburn and what's going on with NC State and Clemson. But we're going to do that in a few weeks as we, you know, continue our spring outlooks for the next couple of weeks, you know, for our spring games. Guys, let's talk about one thing. We got 4 teams on tap. Three from the Big Ten this season, by the way. Three from the Big Ten and one from the SEC. Starting with the defending national champions. The defending national champions, the Michigan Wolverines. We're going to dive deep into what's going on in Ann Arbor. We're going to talk about what's going on up in their to their counterpart, Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State. We're going to also dive deep into the newest member of the Big Ten. They just left the Pac-12, the Fiesta Bowl champions in Eugene, Oregon, the Oregon Ducks. And then we're going to talk about the Peach Bowl champions down in Oxford in the SEC. They coming off their the heels of their first 11-win season in program history, Ole Miss. And we're going to discuss all four of these before we wrap all everything up for the spring outlooks for this week's episode of Pigskin Frenzy for College Football. Let's go into Ann Arbor and let's talk about them first because I am curious about Michigan. Last year, and you can you say whatever you want, last year I said this. I said, if this wasn't the year Michigan was going to win it, what's going to be the year? I said that going into the 2023 season. They had all the pieces. All the pieces were there. They had J.J. McCarthy. They had, who's just blowing up in the NFL draft right now. We're most likely going to go over that, come Thursday and beyond. 2 weeks left into the NFL draft, by the way. I've been covering it to a T. Pulling double duty with this stuff, guys. You can't make this stuff up about my business. So, you had J.J. McCarthy. You had two dynamic running backs with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. Epic running back duo there. You also had two. You guys had two good receivers. You had Samaje Morgan, who most likely will still be there. You had Roman Wilson. You had a lot of good players as well as just not just Cornelius Johnson. You had him there. You had a lot of good players. You had Junior Colson on defense. You had a lot of good pieces on this Michigan football team. Now all these pieces are gone. Everybody from Michigan from last year's team is up and gone, as well as their coach. You had Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is now the new Los Angeles Chargers head coach. He played for the he coached his alma mater to a national championship. Who he played for? Can he coach the team that he got drafted to, the team that he played for in the NFL, the Chargers, to a Super Bowl? That's on NFL Thursdays. We're not going to talk about that, but he left to go back to the NFL to coach the Los Angeles Chargers. So we got new head coach now. Sherrone Moore, the interim head coach for a few games and the OC from last season's Michigan team. He is now the permanent head football coach for the Michigan Wolverines, Sherrone Moore. It is going to be interesting to see what happens with everything because they won. They had a great run as this past season, went undefeated. It was Michigan versus the world. A lot of allegations coming out about the sign ceiling stuff. We had quite a few episodes done on that. When we were covering during in season for college football, we had a lot of episodes on that talking about what's going to happen with them. Should they be removed from the playoffs? All this stuff. Recruiting violations. Everybody was after Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. It was Michigan and Jim Harbaugh versus the world. Hashtag bet is what J.J. McCarthy said. He's what he used. Bet. And according to Jim Harbaugh, he made it mean something, bring everyone together. Michigan, and when he was talking about bringing everyone together, he was talking about bringing Michigan together. He brought Michigan together, okay? He brought them together. And they won the national championship. They had an incredible run. They beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl. A lot of people thought, including myself, thought that Alabama was going to beat Michigan. Michigan ended up beating them in the national title. I picked Washington to beat them in the national title. Michigan ended up beating Washington in the national title. So Rose Bowl win and a national title win for Michigan. I thought Michigan was going to go to the playoffs. I thought they were going to win all year. Honestly, could have thought that I thought they dipped a little bit at the very end, and I thought that Alabama was just too motivated, and I thought Bama was going to be too motivated, but no, Michigan was way more motivated, and Michigan ended up winning in Nick Saban's final game as Alabama head coach, nonetheless. But then went to the national championship, which was Jim Harbaugh's final game as head coach for Michigan, and he ended up bringing a national title home to his alma mater. So all good things, right? All the pieces were there. They lost 2 years in a row. They lost a blowout in the Orange Bowl to Georgia. They lost a they lost a close one to TCU in the Fiesta Bowl semifinal, and you're thinking to yourself, what is it going to take? Are they finally going to get over that hump? They found a way to get over that hump this year. Third time's a charm. They found a way to bring a Natty home to Ann Arbor. Good on them. I said, if this wasn't going to be the year they win it, what's going to be the year? Now it's 2024. The page has flipped. We've turned the page, and now we're going to talk about Michigan in 2024. Do I see them winning a national championship this year? No. I'm just going to say that now. I do not see them winning a national title this year, and I'm just going to be honest. Listen, who knows what can happen? Anything could happen. I understand that. But early on, do I really see them winning another national championship this season? Probably not. No. I would think they could try to go to the playoffs, maybe, but I do not see them honestly making it to the playoffs, or making it to the national championship. They could go to the playoffs, but I don't really see them going to the Natty just yet. A lot of the turnover is the reason why. They lost their head coach, Sherrone Moore, OC. He coached a few games, but he's got to coach a full season now as the full-time head coach for the Michigan Wolverines. Wink from the defensive coordinator for the Giants, former defensive coordinator for the Giants. Wink Martindale, the football coach and defensive coordinator for the Giants. I was reading my notes. What I know about him is he was a solid coordinator for a little bit for the New York Giants. Do I know to an extent about what he is like coaching in the college level? Not to my knowledge. I know what he is like coaching in the NFL. I'm just going to be frank. I'm curious to see what he does as Michigan's defensive coordinator. I don't know much about him from the college perspective, but from the pro perspective, I know what he is like. And he produced some solid defenses for the Giants. So, for Wink Martindale, Don Martindale, what is he going to draw up? And I think this is a good way to start off our number one point for Michigan for the spring outlook. What's Wink Martindale going to dial up for the defense for spring and going into 2024 and beyond? How's the defense going to look? That's the number one point for Michigan in my outlook for the spring. That's what I'm curious about. I want to see what the defense is going to look like. They had a solid defense last season. They made a big crucial stops against Washington, big crucial stops against Ohio State, Alabama, you name it. They made some big crucial stops. Jesse Minter was a big part of that. He is now a part of the Los Angeles Chargers as their defensive coordinator under Jim Harbaugh. He's in the NFL. Now, when we talk about the Michigan Wolverines for this season, Wink Martindale is no joke as a defensive coordinator. He's a good coach, but how's it going to translate to the college level? That is the number one point that I want to see coming in for Michigan going into the spring. That's my number one thing. My number one thing, as I pull up my notes here, for Michigan. Now, when I look at Michigan and when I look at everything here, who is going to be their starting quarterback going into 2024? Who replaces JJ McCarthy? That is what I want to know. So, you have a lot of guys who are coming in. You have a freshman by the name of Jaden Davis out of Providence Day, North Carolina, Fort Mill, South Carolina, 6'1", 203 pounds, quarterback Jaden Davis. He looks like a solid player, and he could be a good player for the Michigan Wolverines for the next 4 years. He could be a guy that could replace JJ McCarthy. You also got Jaden Jaden Dinigle from Apple Valley, California, junior quarterback, 6'5", 235 pounds, number four for the Michigan Wolverines. It could be either Jaden Davis or Jaden Dingingale for the Michigan Wolverines. How about one name that, when you think about him, how about one name that did play kind of a good bit last season? a good bit last season, and he was using a lot of run packages for Jim Harbaugh as a wildcat running back, kind of like how Tim Tebow was used behind Chris Leak at Florida, and that was Alex Orgy, number 10, quarterback, junior, 6'3", 236 pounds from Sanchez, Texas. Can Alex Orgy emerge as the starting quarterback? Those are the three top quarterbacks right now at Michigan, Jaden Dingengill, Jaden Davis, and Alex Orgy. Could Alex Orgy emerge as the starting quarterback for the Wolverines? And is he a good size quarterback that could also fit into the game plan and fit around Sherrone Moore's offense? Because he did fit around Sherrone Moore's offense quite a bit in a lot of plays. So can he... who's going to be the starting quarterback for J.J. McCarthy, and who replaces Michigan's top guy for the past 2.5-3 years? So Alex Orgy, Jaden Davis, and Jaden Dingengill for Michigan's quarterbacks. That's number two. And number three, what are the running backs going to look like? You got one running back there, still there, luckily, star running back Donovan Edwards. He is still there. I found that out the other day. I was getting complaints by some DMs and by some people saying, no, Donovan Edwards is still there. Donovan Edwards is still there, ladies and gentlemen. He is a senior. He has decided to come back for his final season at Michigan. Donovan Edwards, he could honestly, good on him for coming back, as he can up his draft stock going into next season's draft. Behind Donovan Edwards, who is going to be the top guy behind Donovan Edwards? Who's going to rotate in and out with Donovan Edwards when he is not starting? There are some guys that you could look at, and as I scroll down on my notes here and scroll down on rosters here, there are some names you can look at, Khalil Mullings. Khalil Mullings, graduate transfer, running back, number 20, 6'2", 239 pounds. Khalil Mullings, he could also be a good threat behind Donovan Edwards, as well as Tavir Dunlap. Tavir Dunlap, running back senior out of Duval, Texas, number 22, 6', 229 pounds. Some beast at running back that you got with Khalil Mullings and Tavir Dunlap all behind Donovan Edwards. So you got graduate transfer running back, and you got two senior running backs at Michigan who could, do the trick. But who's going to help carry the load behind Donovan Edwards? That's going to be the big question. Is it going to be Khalil Mullings or Tavir Dunlap? Those are the three main things that I'm looking out for Michigan spring outlook. How are they going to look overall? How is everything going to look under Sherrone Moore in his going on his first season at Michigan as full-time Michigan head coach? And what's it going to look like coming off of a national championship? So those are a lot of my questions that I hope that we can try to get answered heading into the spring and watching their spring game. So those are the three. Who's going to replace J.J. McCarthy at quarterback? Who's going to help carry the load at running back behind Donovan Edwards? And number three, what's the defense going to look like under Wink Martindale, now the defensive coordinator for Michigan? Their spring game, Michigan spring game, the Maize versus Blue spring game, is Saturday, April 20th. Not this Saturday, not April 13th, but next Saturday. Next Saturday, April 20th, noon Eastern, or noon local time, noon Eastern time, 11 Central, if you want to watch it. Michigan, Maize versus Blue spring game, Saturday, April 20th. Next Saturday, Michigan's spring game. So good on them, right? Good on them for winning a national title. But now it's trying to figure out how everything's going to mesh now that, everything's coming into place now that a lot of guys are gone from Michigan. So let's see how it goes. Now, when you look at other parts of the Big Ten, you got to look at their counterpart. You got to look at their rival. So let's go over to Columbus, Ohio, and let's do our outlook on Ohio State. I am curious about Ohio State because last year they were undefeated going up into that Michigan game, the game. They lost. Kyle McCord threw an interception. They didn't make the Big Ten championship. They didn't make the playoffs. It wasn't the same as last year. Last year, there were too many losses. And Ohio State only lost one game, so it was like, okay, you got to put them in, right? Put both of them in. This year, there were so many undefeateds, it was like, okay, if Ohio State loses, they're out, all right? If Michigan loses, they're out. Michigan ended up winning the game, back-and-forth game in the Big House, and Ohio State, off of a Kyle McCord interception, Michigan got the win over them in the game to advance to their third straight Big Ten championship. Ohio State was devastated. They're crushed. Kyle McCord enters the transfer portal. They said that he was most likely in a competition to where he may or may not start the 2024 season with Devin Brown. And he ended up was like, he was like, no, what I'm going to do is I am going to transfer. I am not going to be treated like this. A lot of people didn't really treat Kyle McCord the best anyway. And Kyle McCord ended up going to the transfer portal and transferring to Syracuse under new head coach Fran Brown. Kind of interesting and curious to see what Syracuse is going to do in the ACC this season. But nonetheless, Ohio State had a bowl game. They lost 14-3 to a surprising Missouri Tiger football team. They did quite well in that bowl game. I'll say this, not an offensive performance after Devin Brown was hurt, but the defenses did quite well, but Missouri got the upper hand with Cody Schrader running two scores up on Ohio State's defense. But Ryan Day had a plan after everything was over. They brought in a lot of guys. Center from Alabama for the Rose Bowl, if you may recall, if that will help you remember better. Seth McLaughlin is now the center at Ohio State. They brought him as a center and O-lineman. They brought in, and it's a big surprise here, Quinshon Judkins, transfer running back from Ole Miss. He was a dynamic running back in the SEC. No one thought he was going to leave Ole Miss until stuff came out and rumblings came out. He had two of the best 1,500-yard seasons since Herschel Walker. So double-digit, 1,000-yard seasons, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. The first running back to do so back-to-back in his first two seasons in the SEC since Herschel Walker. Quite impressive. He leaves Ole Miss to come to Ohio State, and it is quite interesting to see Quinshon Judkins now as a junior in Garnett and White for the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's kind of interesting to see that. They also brought a lot of players in with Caleb Downs coming from Alabama, safety from Alabama. He is now a part of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Amike Abuka, he stayed on as wide receiver. We know Marvin Harrison left. Court Williams, linebacker, he transferred in as a graduate transfer. You had a lot of guys in this, you know, You recruited well as well on the recruiting trail. Another wide receiver that could take the mentor behind Amike Abuka, but also can make an immediate impact for this team is Jeremiah Smith, freshman wide receiver for Ohio State, number 4, coming from Miami, Florida. He was the number 1 overall receiver in the 2024 class. He is a solid player, a solid football player who will make a difference for Ohio State in years to come. So you recruited well at that level. You also brought, you know, a lot of guys in. Jordan Hancock comes back. You got a lot of guys. Jaden Ballard, wide receiver from Washington, coming in here, and transferring to Ohio State. Denzel Burke, Julian Sayin, backup quarterback for Devin Brown. He could be the next guy stepping up. He was originally committed to Alabama, but transferred after Nick Saban retired, went to Ohio State, and is now there. So you got a lot of guys here. Aaron Nolan, a freshman quarterback, they recruited him, who will be a dynamic quarterback for Ohio State one day. Aaron Nolan, if he decides to continue his career at Ohio State. You got a lot of guys here. Carnell Tate, sophomore, coming from Chicago, IMG Academy. Carnell Tate, a part of the Ohio State receiving core. Carnell Tate, Amike Abuka, and Jeremiah Smith can cook this season on offense. You got the starting quarterback now for the Ohio State Buckeyes in Will Howard. You got Devin Brown. You have him. You have Will Howard as graduate transfer coming from Kansas State, who most likely will start over Aaron Nolan, over Julian Sayin, over Lincoln Kleinholz. Over Devin Brown, Will Howard. So you got him. You got Garrett Stover, freshman linebacker. I mean, just a lot of players. The list goes on. I mean, there's a lot of guys on this. Trevion Henderson's back as that running back. I look at this roster. Jack Sawyer, defensive end, he returns as well. JT returns at the linebacker spot as well. And you look at all these guys and you're thinking, oh my Lord, this is a loaded team for Ohio State. How could they not win the Big Ten? You look at it and you think, how can they not win the Big Ten championship? How can they not be one of the top four teams on bye in the 12-team playoff coming up in December? How can they not be the national championship in the national championship or eventual national champions? If so, they got loads of talent on both sides of the ball, special teams included. All sides of the ball, they have it. My question is, and my outlook on everything is, how the physical toughness of the team. Physical toughness is number one. How are they going to get physical and get ready? Because I think they were preaching physical last season a lot, and they were a tough team, but they weren't physical like previous Ohio State teams. Can they find that physical edge back against other football teams? That's number one outlook for me for Ohio State. When you look at, you know, when you look at the quarterback, you can obviously think that Will Howard is going to be the starting quarterback, right? When you look at him from Kansas State, solid quarterback choice there. Will Howard most likely will start. Who's going to be number two behind him? That is my number. That's my second outlook for Ohio State. Who's going to be number two behind him? And I think that you have a lot of guys like Aaron Nolan, Julian Sayin, Lincoln Klein-Holtz. You have Devin Brown. I think the advantage goes to Devin Brown when you look at everything. But who knows? You got three other solid quarterbacks behind Devin Brown who could give him a run for his money at that second string battle. Who's going to take second team reps? Who can be a liable quarterback coming in, you know, behind Will Howard in case anything happens to Will Howard? So that's number two for Ohio State. And number three, what's the offense going to look like under Chip Kelly? That is what I want to know. I know what the defense is going to look like under Jim Knowles. Jim Knowles, solid defensive coordinator. What's it going to look like under Chip Kelly as offensive coordinator? Chip Kelly going to Ohio State, leaving UCLA's head coaching position to go and be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Big Ten team to another Big Ten team, but as an OC. What's it going to look like as an OC? What's Chip Kelly's offense going to look like in Columbus? And how are they going to, you know, spread everything out? And what is their system going to look like, you know, during the spring and going into fall camp? So those are my three outlooks that I want to see from Ohio State. I want to see how physical can they really get and if they can up their physicality. Number two, who is going to be behind Will Howard as the backup quarterback for Ohio State? And number three, what's their offense going to look like under Chip Kelly? And how is the system going to look overall? So that's my outlook on Ohio State. As we continue on, we're about to be in 30 minutes here. We got three more minutes till we hit 30 minutes on the show. We got two more teams to go over before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. Ohio State's schedule as we look here, I'm trying to find the spring game if I can, you know, tell everybody about it. Ohio State's spring game here as I look on my notes and, you know, cellular device. So, spring game this Saturday, of course, this Saturday. Spring game's this Saturday, April 13th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., you know, show out for your Buckeyes, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Ohio State spring football game, Saturday, April 13th. You can watch it most likely on Big Ten Network, ESPN platforms as well. Ohio State spring game, 11 through 3 p.m. this Saturday for the 2024 spring football season. So Ohio State, that's their outlook. If Ohio State is not in it, and this is just going to be my early prediction. If Ohio State's not in it, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We'll get into more of that later on, but something's wrong. I'm looking at the camera right now and saying something's wrong if Ohio State's not in it with the team that they got. Let's talk about Oregon. Oregon, their first season in the Big 12. It is interesting to see, honestly, the transitions that they're going to make into the Big 10. How are they going to translate into spring football? I had a... it translated into the Big Ten, per se. They had a really, really good season last year. Their final season of the Pac-12, only lost a couple of games. They lost to the same team twice, Washington. They made it to the Pac-12 championship, played very physical football, one of the most physical teams in the Pac-12. And I'm curious to see how that's going to translate from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten, to Midwest, Mid-East, Eastern-type football. How is that going to translate when you look at it region-wise, and how is it going to look like conference-wise? I think out of the four that have gone to the Big Ten, Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA, the one that's going to translate the most to me is Oregon. Dan Lanning is cooking up something special in Eugene. It's his third season going in as Oregon's head coach. He has had two solid football seasons, both including, one included a Pac-12 championship runner-up. One included the Fiesta Bowl, going to a New Year's Six Bowl. Oregon was cooking, in the Holiday Bowl again, or Alamo Bowl. No, it wasn't the Alamo Bowl. It was the Holiday Bowl against North Carolina the previous year. But recruiting has been off the hook. They have finished top five in recruiting the first two seasons Dan Lanning's been there. He's an excellent recruiter. He's a people's coach. Everybody translate well with Dan Lanning. He's got grit and determination. And I like me some Dan Lanning. I really do like me some Dan Lanning. And Oregon is a solid football team, and I cannot wait to see what they do in the Big Ten. They got a tough schedule. Ohio State's included in that. Michigan is also included in that. UCLA is included in that. Michigan State's included in that. Wisconsin and Washington are both included in that as well. Going to be a tough schedule, maybe, but let's see what Oregon's got for us, especially with the top five recruiting class they got with us. And they got two solid additions on offense in the transfer portal, and Evan Stewart from Texas A&M, solid choice, and Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma, who most likely will be their starting quarterback, for the spring, not the spring, but for the 2024 season, one and only 2024 season. Now, you bring some guys back, which is good for your spring outlook. You got Terrence Ferguson back. You got Trayshawn Holden back. You got an inside linebacker. You got Jeffrey Bassa back. You got Gary Bryant Jr. back there. You got Jordan Burch on defensive end back. You got a lot of guys back. Tysheem Johnson back. You got a lot of guys back, man. A lot of guys back coming in. You got some new faces. Backup quarterback out of UCLA, transfer from UCLA, Dante Moore. Dante Moore will back up Dylan Gabriel. He is going to be the quarterback for the future for the Oregon Ducks. You got Jabbar Muhammad coming in from Washington, transferring from Washington to Oregon, and it helps out a big piece of that secondary because they need it. A big piece in the secondary. Jabbar Muhammad is now an Oregon Duck in the Big Ten. Big pickup there. Along with Dylan Gabriel, Evan Stewart now on offense for them. Dante Manning from Kansas City, Missouri, senior. He is there. Nico Reed is still there. They got a lot of guys coming back for Oregon, and Oregon has a lot of pieces and talent that could probably match Ohio State and could take them to the Big Ten championship in their first season as Big Ten members. So when you look at Oregon, what are some key questions about them? Number one that I want to see, who replaces Bucky Irving at running back? Who's going to replace it? You still got, I'm not just saying you got some guys, don't get me wrong, you got some guys at running back, but who's going to replace and add that spark as the new starting running back behind, who was behind Bucky Irving? Who can take that mantle and do what Bucky Irving did, if not better than what Bucky Irving did? Noah Whittington is one of those guys. Redshirt junior running back. Got hurt last season, had a lot of injury, issues from Peach County High School in Fort Valley, Georgia. Noah Whittington is a solid choice who most likely will start for the Oregon Ducks. He can be a solid choice for, the Oregon Ducks. As I look over my notes and look over the roster here, for Oregon. How about Ellis Bynum? Ellis Bynum, running back sophomore out of at a Portland, Oregon sophomore from Central Catholic High School. He waited and waited and waited, and now it could be his time to shine in the offensive system under Dan Lanning. Ellis Bynum out of Portland, Oregon. How about another guy is Jay Harris. He came from St. Louis, Missouri, Northwest Missouri State, transferred in, junior running back transfer. Jay Harris, he could be a solid choice behind Noah Whittington and Ellis Bynum. How about a guy we saw last year, Jordan James, Nashville, Tennessee, Oakland High School. Jordan James could be a solid choice behind Noah Whittington as well. We saw him a little bit last year, and we saw Noah Whittington more behind Bucky Irving. So who's going to just cause that spark in the running game for the Oregon Ducks? That's number one. Number two, besides Jabbar Muhammad, what's the secondary going to look like? Besides Jabbar Muhammad and besides Nico Reed and Dante Manning, what's behind them in the secondary, and what are they going to look like, if they have to rotate in and out, right? You look at Dakota Fields. Dakota Fields, defensive back freshman out of Gardena, California. He's a solid choice, and he is a baller. He really is. He plays some physical football. He can read the coverage as well against receivers, and it's going to take him some time to develop, but Dakota Fields could be a strong choice at defensive back for Oregon. How about Sione Lalalea? Sione Lalalea, defensive back junior from Mountain View, California, came from the College of San Mateo, transferred into Oregon. How about he could be a solid choice for behind Jabbar Muhammad, and in case anything happens to Nico Reed or Dakota Manning, or Dante Manning, rather, in the secondary. Finally, redshirt freshman Solomon Davis could be that choice as well, wearing the famous number 15 that Christian Hernandez wore in Oregon. So redshirt freshman out of Fontana, California, coming in. Let's see what he's got, behind Jabbar Muhammad and behind Nico Reed and Dante Manning for Oregon in the secondary. So that's number two. Who's going to step up behind those main starters in case anything goes wrong, in the secondary spot this season? So that's what I want to see there, behind them. And number three, we know that the receiver spot is going to be filled with Evan Stewart, Trayshawn Holden, and Tez Johnson, just like the defensive backs. Who's after them? You got guys like Justice Lowe who could probably step in. I want to see what he's made of in the spring. Sophomore out of Portland, Oregon. I want to see what he is made of in the spring as well. How about Jeremiah McClellan, St. Louis, Missouri, freshman receiver coming in out of Christian Brothers College. I want to see what he can do as a solid wide receiver. That's another receiver that I want to see. And one more receiver before we move on that I kind of want to, talk about just for a tiny bit. Preston Alford, sophomore out of Dripping Springs, Texas, Dripping Springs High School. I want to see what happens with him and see if they play him a lot more in the spring going into fall camp as well. Behind Evan Stewart, behind a Trayshawn Holden, and behind a Tez Johnson. So that's what I want to see. Those are the three things I want to see. One, behind the defensive backs, who's going to step up behind the star defensive secondary? Who's going to step up behind the star receivers for this team? And honestly, number three, what's it going to look like? At the running back behind who after Bucky Irving, and let's see what that spark's going to do on a running back for Oregon, and what's going to happen with their spark now that Bucky Irving's gone. Can Noah Whittington and others take up that mantle and do what Bucky Irving did even better? So before we move on to Ole Miss and conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, because we're about to be out of time here shortly, Oregon spring game is in a few weeks. It is in 3 weeks. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks, right? So 2 weeks. It is in 2 weeks, April 27th, Saturday, 1 p.m. local time for Oregon. So if you're in the East Coast, it is 4 p.m. Eastern. So 4 p.m. Eastern for Oregon spring game, 1 Pacific, Eugene, Oregon, and Austin Stadium, the 2024 spring football game for the Ducks, April 27th, Saturday, April 27th at 1 p.m. Eugene, Oregon time. check your local listings and check your listings for that spring game. Cannot wait to see what Oregon Ducks do heading into the spring game this season. One more to go. Let's go down south and go to the SEC before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. And it's the Ole Miss Rebels coming off of a 11-win season for the first time in program history. A lot of people thought that Ole Miss was going to be lose at least four games. Georgia, Alabama, LSU included in those three, including A&M. They thought A&M was going to do it. They beat LSU. They beat A&M. They only lost two games. Lost to Georgia, lost to Alabama. And let me go on and tell you something. Ole Miss looked good on offense, didn't they? They looked really good. They also brought some of that pressure on the defensive front under their new defensive coordinator. Well, now defensive coordinator Pete Golding, first season defensive coordinator last season. Pete Golding, y'all remember him? He was the defensive coordinator at Alabama before switching and going to Ole Miss, and he brought some of that fire, some of that intensity. Like, oh man, it may have been rough at Alabama, but guess what? I'm going to redeem myself here for Ole Miss. They had an okay defense. They didn't have a bad defense. Charlie Weiss Jr., their OC, made some incredible play calls under Jackson Dart as their quarterback. Quinshon Juggins was their running back. They got some good receivers with Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, Dayton Wade, Caden Prescorn. They got a lot of guys, dude, a lot of guys on that football team, on that offense. And on defense, Jared Ivey, they got a lot of guys on that team. When you look at the running back spot, though, they kind of took a hit. Quinshon Juggins, now a part of the Ohio State Buckeyes. They got a lot of guys coming in from the transfer portal, though. Juice Wells being one of them from South Carolina. Oh, my Lord. Their receiver room is going to be electric. When you look at their defensive front, they brought back Jared Ivey. They brought back they brought Walter Nolan in. How's that going to come into effect with everything? That is a big thing there, bringing Walter Nolan in, the number one prospect a couple of years ago for Texas A&M, now going to Ole Miss. How's that going to look for teams who got to face that defensive front on their schedule in the 2024 season? So it's going to be pretty big for Ole Miss. They had the number one transfer recruiting class in. It's going to be interesting to see about everything. I'm very curious to see how Ole Miss is going to look coming up this season, and especially in the spring, because I want to know their running back spot. That's the number one thing. Their running back spot. What's it going to look like under Quinshon? Now Quinshon Juggins isn't there. That got UCLA. Ulysses Bentley the fourth. Ulysses Bentley the fourth is still there. They also have Logan Diggs coming in there. Logan Diggs, the transfer running back from LSU and from Notre Dame, going to Ole Miss and being their new running back there. So Bentley the fourth, Diggs, who else behind him? Those two are going to step up, and what's going to bring some spark into the running game now that they lost a big-time running back in Quinshon Juggins? That's one. Number two, and number two is a big number two here. What's everything going to look like? What's everything going to look like besides just Walter Nolan and besides Jared Ivey on the defensive front? That's what I would like to know. I am all about the physical aspect of everything. That is another thing for me. I want to see what the defensive line is going to hold besides just Walter Nolan and besides just Jared Ivey, as I pull up my notes for Ole Miss here. So, as I pull it up here, number one, Joshua Harris. Joshua Harris, senior, he is still there. You got guys like, you got Walter Nolan, like I said. Got Jared Ivey still there. You can also move, and I didn't think about this, Suntain Perkins, you can move him as a hybrid edge rusher and bring him on the line as well. Chris Paul Jr. is still there. You can move him on the line and bring him there as well. So you got guys. Jared Ivey's still there, of course. Who is going to step up and bring some of that more, bring more of that physicality and help out Jared Ivey and help out Walter Nolan? So those are some guys. Cam Franklin could be a guy that you can look at and see, hey, he can move up and help a little bit out with Walter Nolan and Jared Ivey as well. So that's one big thing. That's another big thing for Ole Miss that I would like to see as well. Number three, I want to see how physically improved they are. Same thing with Ohio State a little bit, but with Ole Miss, because they got tossed around against Georgia. They got to play Georgia again this year. If they want to match up and level up on a lot of things, I think, honestly, if you look at it, if you want to match up a lot, you got to play better physical football. You got to be more physical, recruit, beef up your guys, beef up the both of your lines, the offensive line and the defensive line, and win in the line of scrimmage. And that's how it's usually done in the SEC in a lot of games, is winning in the line of scrimmage. You got the quarterback, you got the offense, you got some of the key talent on defense and offense and on special teams. You just got to play physical football. So what's the physicality going to look like in the spring? How is it going to, you know, level up in the spring? So those are the three things. Who's going to provide that spark behind Logan Diggs, that running back, and behind Ulysses Bentley, the fourth? Who's going to help out, you know, Jared Ivey? And who's going to help out Walter Nolan on the defensive front? And how physical is Ole Miss going to be going into this season? Because they're going to be hyped. They're a really, really high football team. They have a schedule that's fairly easy, bringing back a lot of their guys. Ole Miss is a team that I would watch out for in the SEC going into this season. Let's see how it's going to be. Who knows? Usually, when Ole Miss gets hyped up, they usually lose four or five games, okay? So I'm afraid to say anything or hit the ceiling on Ole Miss just yet. But when you don't hype up Ole Miss usually ends up winning 11 games. So who knows what's going to happen with Ole Miss. But one thing I can for sure tell you is they got the talent. They got the talent. And I think that it can come a long way for them. Just those three things, and I want to see them improve on those three things in the spring going into fall camp. Ole Miss, as I look up on my notes, their spring game, Ole Miss's spring game, is April 13th, this Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 Eastern, in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. It is the Grove Bowl, of course. 13 TV time is SEC Network, 4 Eastern, 3 Central time, Saturday afternoon. The Grove Bowl spring game for Ole Miss is this weekend, this Saturday. We will have results on that as soon as we can. Good luck to everybody in the spring. And those were my outlooks, pretty much, for Ole Miss, Ohio State, Oregon, and the defending national champion, Michigan. I want to see all those things come to fruition. And we are going to give results on them in a few weeks. That just about does it for Pigskin Frenzy. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, Facebook, and X. All you got to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like each page there. You'll get episode updates. You'll get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's question. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football and all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Thank you to our partners from the Beer Club. Go shop at the Beer Club through my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com, and through my link tree. And you will get some excellent products. Your facial hair needs and your grooming needs will be met with the Beard Club. Again, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday. This Thursday, we will be back for some NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. We got a big trade just happened, and we're going to discuss it this Thursday. What's going on with Bills Mafia? We're going to talk about what's happening in Buffalo and what's going on, because I have a lot to say on the Buffalo Bills this coming up Thursday, and the latest on some draft prospects and the draft as we edge closer to 2 weeks away from Detroit, Michigan for the NFL draft. Until Thursday, I'm Joel Norris signing off, and we will see you again this Thursday for an edition of Pigskin Frenzy, NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. For everybody out there, stay the course.